camp happens and everybody, all the kids go, parents, all of that. Do we have any crying parents here tonight? Because they miss their kids? Oh, are you?
I miss mine. I do, really.
Good. I knew you did. You're compassionate and just, yeah. It's good to miss them, huh? Yeah, it is. It is good to miss them. Psalm 27, and I'm going to read again. Found another book. Andrew Murray. Anybody familiar with Andrew Murray? 1800s. He was born on the mission field and in Africa. Interesting. And he wrote over 240 books. This is one of them. And it's entitled Waiting on God. And that's my message tonight, is waiting on God and trusting. Strong and of good courage. Psalm 27, verse 14 says this: Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The psalmist has just said in verse number 13, look at verse 13, he said, I had what? Fainted unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord, right? All right. And the Lord in the land of the living. So there's a difficulty that we go through, and sometimes it is, are we waiting enough on the Lord? And there is strength in waiting. The psalmist has just said that, but in confident assurance in God, which faith gives, he urges himself and us to remember one thing above all, and that is to wait on the Lord, to be strong and of good courage. You remember that's what he said, that Joshua said to the people of Israel, and they were about ready to embark on a land that they were scared about, and they didn't know, but Moses had died, and Joshua was the new leader, and Joshua said, be strong and of a good courage. Wait on the Lord. Well, one of the chief needs of our waiting upon God is the deepest secrets of the blessedness and blessing, Andrew Murray says, in a quiet, confident persuasion that is not in vain. Good. Courage to believe that God will hear and help. He will hear and help. Isn't that great? And waiting on God, who never, ever disappoints his people. Be strong and of good courage. These words frequently found in connection with some of the great and difficult enterprises in prospect of combat and the power of a strong enemies and utter insufficiency of all human strengths. Is waiting on God a work so difficult that such words are needed? Yes. It is tough to wait. And so we need that. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, indeed. He writes, let the deliverance for which we often have to wait is from our enemies, and in the presence of we are impotent. In other words, we have no strength. The blessings for which we plead are spiritual and unseen, things impossible with men, heavenly, supernatural, divine realities. Our heart may well faint and fail. Our souls are so little accustomed to hold fellowship with God. The God on whom we wait, now listen to this, the God in whom we wait so often appears to hide himself. We who have to wait are often tempted to fear that our desire is not as upright or as earnest as it should be, and that our surrender is not complete. Amid all these causes of fear or doubt, how blessed to hear the voice of our God, wait on the Lord. Be strong and let thine heart take courage. Yea, wait on the Lord. Let nothing in heaven or earth or hell, let nothing keep you from waiting on your God in full assurance that it cannot be in vain. Wait on the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of a God who answers. And he desires us to wait. The answers to prayer, the answers that come in our lives. And yes, we do need that courage and that strength. And we draw upon that right now. Ask the blessed Spirit of God to speak through your word to our waiting hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a look at Psalm 27. It's packed full of why should I wait on the Lord. Why should you wait in the Lord? James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God and he will do what? Draw nigh unto us, right? And the last verse in Psalm 27, as we looked at it, really is based upon verse 13 there. I had fainted unless I had seen. Are you at that point? Have you been there? I've been there. Yeah, I've been there. Just don't know if I can last. Well, why should we? Patience is a virtue, and you know that. A commodity that believers need to strive for, and confident expectation that God will do what we ask or think. And many times, Romans tells us, he will do, I like this, exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think. Wow. Well, Psalm 11, indeed do I put my trust, and Psalm 37, delighting and trusting and committing and resting. God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 91 is one of those that goes along with it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my God. Why should we wait? Because, number one, look at the verse, number one, he is our salvation. He is our light. We live in a dark world. We live in a world that's evil. Wow. When you hear things in Dallas, when you hear things in Chicago, you hear things all over. It's an evil world. Why do people do that? It's that. But he is our light. He is our sustainer. He is the beginner of it. He is creator. He is everything. Why wait? Verse 2. Look at it. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, even my flesh, they stumbled and fell. When they, and that's really, he is our victory. He is our victory. When you're pressed on every side and nowhere else to go, he's there. He is there. Why wait on the Lord? Here's a good one. Verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though through war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Wow. And that goes to confident expectation out of Ephesians that Paul was alluding to. And Pastor Long so oftentimes brings that to our attention. We are confidently expecting what God would do. So why wait? He's our confidence. Who are you confident in? Your car? That's pretty good. Tires? Yeah. Okay. How about the bank account? Yeah. Something better. God. He is our confidence, right? Verse 4. Why wait? Because the Lord is always there. Look at this. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, how long? All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. At home in the Lord. Of course, we have a distinct advantage because he dwells in us. The tabernacle, that's what we're talking about. He's there at all times. I just finished a book, again, from my library, Adrift, taken from the library here. You ever read it? Oh, my word. 22 days adrift on a raft with 8 people. It was taken, this missionary lady, they were coming off of the field, and they were traveling. This is during the Second World War, and there was the German subs, what are they called? The U-boats, yes. They were taking everybody down, and this was a merchant ship, torpedoed it 2 times. Everybody died, only 8 people. There were 3 rafts, and they were together. There was like 15 that were there, and they cut 2 of the rafts back, and then this lady and her son and her daughter, all right, she was a missionary, and the captain, and 22 days in the South Atlantic. They were headed to Barbados, didn't make it. Ended up, they were picked up after 22 days, adrift. And just amazing, amazing, the account of that. All right, why wait? Well, one of the things is the very fact that they waited, and they had confidence that God was going to hear, and he did. All right. I don't know why I brought that up, but that just came to my mind. All right. Verse 5, for in times of trouble shall he hide me in the pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a, there it is, a what? A rock. He is a rock. No, not prudential. He is the rock. Rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why wait? He is the rock. Pavilion, a shelter, and in time, and his protection is there forever. Why wait? Verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Why? Because you can sing unto the Lord. All right? He's our rock, yes. All right, but I can sing and lift up the Lord and sing praises unto the Lord. The tabernacle, sacrifices of joy. He will answer. He will hear. This is neat. All right, verse number 7. Why wait? The psalmist put his confidence in something that we're here about tonight. All right, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah said that. Why? Because God answers prayer. We have in prayer that confidence to call, and he will answer. Why wait? Well, why wait? Here's the next verse. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Jeremiah also said this in Jeremiah 29, and ye shall find me if you seek me with all of your heart. You'll find me. So seeking, and of course that's, again, the New Testament. Seek, and ye shall what? Knock, and it shall be opened. And what's the rest of that? Seek, knock, Ask. Yes, ask. That's the one I was forgetting. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Why wait? All right. Why wait? Verse 9. He will never do something. Here it is. Look at it. All right. We're at verse number what? Verse number 9. We did that. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me what? Not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Why wait? Because he said, I will never, never leave you, nor what? Forsake you. Some of the greatest verses in the Bible there. Why wait? Verse 10 goes on and says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Why wait? Because the Lord lifts us out of the lowest places, even on our closest of our family, even when people around us forsake us and we have no idea. God will not. He will not leave us, ever. God always shows himself strong, even at our lowest. When my strength is almost gone, what did Paul say? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the what? Power of Christ would rest upon me. Wow. Verse 11. Why wait? Why wait? Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. He always leads in a plain path. Reminds us of the psalmist also, David said in Psalm 23, he leads me beside the what waters? The still waters. Restores my soul. Restores my soul. Why wait? He leads me in a plain path. Sometimes we don't think it's very plain. Sometimes it's a little bit bumpy and a little bit goofy and a little bit, wow, why is this? Why is this happening? Well, he sees it very plain. We don't. He sees it very plain. And he will not forsake us in all that. Why wait? He always leads us. And then the last, and then verse number 12 goes on and says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses have risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty. Ever been lied about? Said something? I have down here that this is a reference to the passion of the Lord Jesus. David, of course, you remember in writing this, he certainly was recalling the times in which he was lied about, the times in which he had difficulties, even his own father-in-law, Saul, and many after him. Incredible. Incredible. But Jesus paid the price of all of that. 13. Why wait? I had, here it is, fainted unless I had believed. What's the key to this verse? What's the key to not fainting? What is it? Faith? Yeah. Believed. I had believed. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And here it is that the psalmist was stating, except, all right, he had fainted unless he had seen God's goodness. Hebrews chapter 12. Consider him that endured against such contradiction of sinners. Great verse. Go to that. Go to Hebrews 12. I want to get that right. Hebrews 12. It starts out with saying that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, and layers every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience, there it is, looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith, finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and what? Faint in your minds. Would have been easy, very easy. And of course, Christ, God in flesh, set the example for us, showing us that it is possible. So oftentimes we think that, that was God. I mean, he can do anything. But if you look at the book of Philippians, and you look at the very fact that Christ, when God became a man, and he took upon himself the flesh that you and I have, he laid aside for a period of time that which was eternal, that which he was. Now, I don't know how that happened, but he did. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that he was tempted with everything that you and I are tempted with. Yes, he could not sin, and we can get into all the theological things that could have happened, but he was and he is the same as you and I. Man, I don't know how that was. Why? Well, I believe it was right here. The very fact that he was able to do that, and we need to consider him. We need to consider him. Well, in verse 14, we ended up where we started. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. That's a great promise. He shall strengthen your heart. When you think you're the lowest, when things aren't going so good, things are at a point where you think, I just don't know. He wants you and I to wait. And then he will give you that strength. As Paul said, most gladly, therefore, where I'll rather glory in my infirmities, that again the power of Christ may rest upon me. Charles Spurgeon wrote, wait at his door with prayer. Wait at his foot with humility. Wait at his table with service. Wait at his window with expectation. Wait on the Lord. Delightful. Why wait? Well, the verses really speak a lot to us about the very fact that God is God. He is able. He is able. Selah is not here tonight, so we can't sing, he is able, he is able. I know he is able. Love that. I know he is able. Children seem to have that real, trust. And we adults get to the point in our lives when we've got it all together. And then all of a sudden somebody just turns and looks up in your face. God's able to do that. Why didn't you just trust? Why don't you just trust? Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, thank you for the joy of being in your presence in prayer. Tonight, as we come before you, we wait upon you to hear an answer, to do great and mighty things, to work in our lives and lives of people that we're going to be praying for tonight, and in our church body, in our world, in our country, and our pastors. And we ask, Father, that you would do that even above what we ask or think tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.